but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Hankerson to the left. Hankerson busts it. Hankerson is in. Do the Beavers bring people? Yes, they do. There's the fade to Horton. We broke it up. No flags. Oregon State wins.
Jude Anubi, Stephen Vaughn filling in for John Canzano on the Bald-Faced Truth. 750 The Game, BFT Radio Network. Can't wait for a little Beef football next Saturday, this season opener against Cal at 7:30. Ryan Harlan covers the Beavs, senior sports writer at Beaver's Edge of On3 Sports, and he joins us now. Ryan, great to talk to you. How are you?
Doing good. Thank you guys for having me on.
Just about 8 days away. How you feeling?
Oh, I'm excited. I mean, football's just right around the corner, and I know I'm ready for this season to get underway and get started with a another year of covering the Beavers.
Yeah, man, it's an intriguing year. Your overall big picture thoughts of Trent Bray entering another year as head coach and where this program stands right now. What kind of themes are around your head right now as you get ready for Beaver football?
I would say particularly with Trent Bray this year, he's going to be more hands-on this year than last year. He was more kind of in that CEO role a little bit, kind of delegating out, and it was something that he kind of looked back on and thought, you know, this isn't my feel, and it's kind of shown at least throughout the way players have responded to him in spring and fall camp. One of the biggest things is like the energy on defense and guys like buying in basically back into Trent Bray's defensive play style, the way that he likes to come up with formations, draw up pressures, stunts, things of that nature. It's very much like the fingerprints of Bray's defense of what we were promised in 2024, I think is going to come to fruition in 2025. And then as for like the players, I mean, they look at 2024, those guys that are still on the roster from last year, they're like, hey, look, like, you know, we're wanting to show that this was not, you know, what we're capable of. This is, you know, something that we saw early on in spring where immediately the energy was there from day one. It felt like I was watching a practice in the middle of the week. It didn't seem like, you know, this was spring. Everybody was starting fast. I mean, even in fall camp too, similar deal as well. And energy was there right out of the jump. And I think these guys pretty much on this roster are ready to go and ready to make the most of this season. I mean, it's a lot of wanting to be better and show on tape and that, you know, last year was they left some meat on the bone and want to prove that this year is something that, you know, can be more than just five wins from a year ago and be able to get back to a bowl game or even have a shot at getting to the college football playoff.
Has Malik Murphy been named the starting quarterback yet?
I mean, all but, you know, in officially named, I mean, everybody knows that Malik is the guy. I think we don't necessarily need a Pete Thamel or Pete Nakos announcement to tell you that. I mean, being around spring and all of fall camp, like that was kind of the expectation to begin with. It was kind of the unsaid thing in there, and at least for Malik, like he's been great so far in from improving from spring to fall camp and what we've seen out on the practice field from him. But yeah, he's the guy. I mean, that's kind of why you bring him in. You get the, you know, NIL that you do to reel him in and being able to open up not only what Gundy can do as an offensive coordinator, but also bring back some leadership that was missing last season in that quarterback room. And that was something that we heard a lot of talk about, guys talking about how much of a great leader Malik is in the locker room. So, yeah, he's the guy for this season. So that's something there where I don't think I was ever really in doubt for the most part when he came onto campus.
Yeah, I think we all know Malik's the guy. Ryan Harlan here on the sports, talking Oregon State football. Ryan, I want to ask you this. You talked about Ryan Gunderson. You talked about Malik Murphy right there. Last season with Giovanni McCoy, it seemed like the distribution was like 75% run, 25% pass, like because they just couldn't throw the football. What are you expecting out of this offense with Ryan Gunderson now that they have a guy like Malik Murphy, but they also have a great running game still? Like the offensive line has shown some real good things down at camp. I've heard you guys talk about that. You got Anthony Hankerson back. Like, what are you expecting out of this Oregon State offense to look like going into this season opener against Cal?
I'm expecting this offense to be the fun offense that Gunderson promised in spring a year ago. And by that, I mean more of like the explosive plays down the field, being able to go more vertical than just going horizontal. And I think that was just a byproduct in 2024 of, you know, not having the talent in the quarterback room to be able to open up the vertical passing attack. So I would expect this year to see a lot more of that, a lot more aggressiveness of throwing the ball down the field. Malik is certainly not afraid to do that. Gundy even said, too, like he wants his quarterbacks to take those shots down the field and be more explosive. That's something that he's like, hey, like we need to be better at this. And he's been kind of emphasizing that all through camp. So in addition to the strong running game, which Beavers are definitely going to rely upon without a doubt, I mean, I would expect this offense to be a bit more balanced and in terms of run versus pass, and not quite as, I would say, heavy on the running game. Now, Gundy is known to stick with a particular play or play call when things are going right and trying to force an opposing defense to stop him from making that play effective, and then we'll change accordingly in game. But I think this group can be 1,000 times better than what they were with Malik under center, especially just being able to be more explosive in the passing game, which was something that, like, you know, you really missed out a lot on in 2024. And having a guy like Trent Walker back and then Taz Reddix in the slot as well really gives you some versatility there to be able to, you know, take those shots down the field. I mean, Taz switched over from outside receiver into the slot, and he's opened up that sort of dimension a little bit more of the passing game, being able to, you know, take the opposing top off the defense, basically.
Ryan Harlan is on X at Ryan_Harlan7, covers the Beavers for Beaver's Edge. Defensively, Ryan, who are the names to know about going into this season?
Defensively, Nico Taylor returns for another year. And also, I would say, too, Ty Wallen, Walker Harris, along that defensive line. Ty Wallen has been a real standout so far in fall camp, opposite of Nico Taylor along that defensive line. Tavita Pome as well is due for a breakout year, D-tackle spot. Tavita's slimmed down a little bit, and he's looked great in fall camp so far. And then moving kind of through the levels of the defense, Dexter Foster, Rajon Davis as well. Rajon Davis, USC transfer, will be kind of opposite of Foster in that linebacking four. And then in the secondary, Trey Glasper, the true freshman corner who enrolled early in spring. He's a guy that has held his own so far through spring and then also through fall as well. Like, and it's, you know, kind of I would say, like, if not, like, against, like, a third or fourth receiver, he's gone up against some of the tough, tougher matchups. And Trent Walker, Darius Clemens, Kaz Reddick, Zach Bard as well, too, and he's held his own. So Trey Glassford, true freshman, will see some time in the secondary, that's for sure. He's a guy that I'm really high on, that I think a lot of people are going to get to be able to see what he can do week one in that secondary group that's so deep as well, too. I mean, you can rotate guys kind of in and out, similar with the defensive line as well, and I don't think you miss any production at all. But those would be the guys that I would say are kind of some names to look out for this year on the defensive side of the ball.
This Cal test to open the season is such a fun one. You know, I remember when DJU, all the pomp and circumstance around him and then winning the job and what kind of QB is Oregon State getting. And then he goes out in the San Jose State game on the road. I think Beavers were favored by like 17.5 that day. And Sunday afternoon on CBS with the whole nation watching Labor Day weekend. And he goes out and throws 5 touchdowns and looks pretty good in the process. And we look back on it and you're like, yeah, maybe that wasn't the best test, but it was a good Oregon State team, obviously. I mean, they were sniffing the playoff there with 2 weeks to go. What do you make of this Cal test to open the season and specifically how it relates to what you are looking to see out of Malik Murphy right away?
I think really this first game against Cal, I think the biggest like overarching theme that I kind of want to see from this group is being able to start fast. And that's something there where, it's not, like you mentioned, it's not like the San Jose State in 2023 where, you have a little bit of leeway to kind of figure out the flow of the game and get yourself into a rhythm. But also, like, at the same time, though, we also don't know what Cal is quite yet as a team with all the changes that they've had in the offseason. So I think that's something there where, this is going to be kind of a toss up to a degree in terms of like how kind of like the first half is going to go, I would say, in terms of game flow. But out of Malik specifically, I think for him it's just being able to orchestrate the offense, being able to take those shots down the field when they present itself, being able to, make that passing game more explosive. But, like, he doesn't have to do too much either at the same time. Kind of similar to DJU to a degree, but what I mean is more of, like, he has playmakers on every side of him. So tight end spot, wide receivers in the backfield with Anthony Hankerson, Salah Adin Allah, Marquise Crosby. Like, he doesn't have to be, I would say, like, everything rests upon him. He can distribute out and be kind of a point guard of Gunnarsson's offense, basically. And that's kind of what I'm looking at least for him, in this first game, is being able to, elevate the offense, but not try to, I would say, do too much. If I'm making any sense there.
Makes a lot of sense. Yeah, for sure. Because it's still, the Cal team is unknown, like you said. And I think it's led by their starting quarterback, Jaron Kiwa Sagapuletele, the true freshman. I've had to practice that.
Come now.
I have to practice that right there.
Come now.
What is the effect of starting a true freshman on the road at Reser's Stadium? Do you think that is going to be playing any effect? Because Sagapuletele is very talented. He's left-handed. Like, he is a different type of player. What are the Beavs going to do to try to make it a little bit, are they going to try to confuse him? Is Trent Bray going to do something to, go about it and try to just make it life more tough on him? Or are we just overlooking it? We're just saying, like, two freshmen, yeah, we get it, but this is a talented guy.
I would say, yeah, everybody's talented when you get to this level of college football, right? But also, I think it's also a little bit of what have you done to kind of separate yourself from that, and I think we'll see what that looks like week one and how Jaron looks under center in a hostile environment. But I'd expect Trent Bray to get after him a little bit, and call some creative pressures and stunts. I mean, that's something there where I don't envy Jaron in starting his first career game in a hostile environment on the road at Reser Stadium. But like, I think it's more of, well, you know, once they kind of get into the weeds a little bit with prepping for him, I think they'll be able to provide a solid game plan and how to slow him down. But definitely, I would expect a lot of pressures, a lot of confusion, pre and post snap, different looks as well too. So something there where I think Bray will have a lot of fun, I would say, scheming against a true freshman.
And you think Oregon State has the personnel to do those type of things, put a lot of pressure on the quarterback?
Yeah, definitely, especially that defensive line, too, in particular. I mean, that group is, I've said it a lot over the course of fall camp and spring, that this group is much more improved than they were a year ago. And I know that was kind of maligned a little bit in 2024 because of the injuries and having to bring guys over from the offensive side of the ball to shore up some spots depth-wise. But this group has been able to get after the quarterback pretty consistently in camp, getting after Malik and even Jabari Johnson as well too. So they have plenty of personnel there to, you know, kind of mix and match and do things a little bit different, you know, than they were a year ago, with how that group performed in 2024.
Hey, Ryan, this Blueprint Sports, you know, thing that's kind of taken over the NIL in-house operations with Oregon State. What's your read on that and the impact that may have on not just football, but I guess athletics at large at OSU?
So in terms of Blueprint and kind of hearing a little bit about what they do, I like this move. And I think they're going to be, a solid kind of addition to Oregon State's NIL future going forward and being able to be effective in this, you know, landscape, which is still, there's still ups and downs and nuances and things that, you know, we're still, I think, as all of us are trying to understand and figure out. But I like the move. In terms of kind of going forward, what that would mean, I know Damnation initially was thinking about, you know, what kind of things would happen if they had to move in-house with the house settlement. And I think this is kind of the first sort of dominoes or steps to seeing, you know, kind of the collective move in-house underneath the umbrella of athletics. So I like the move. I think it's only more of a matter of, like, you know, kind of seeing how things play out and kind of their and Blueprint's impact in that space for Oregon State athletics. I think going forward, just kind of seeing how things kind of unfold as we go, especially too for being able to, you know, keep guys on the roster. How's that going to look, you know, kind of going forward? But those are some unanswered questions I have, you know, regarding NIL for sports at Oregon State, not just football. But at the same time, though, it's more of, I think you just kind of have to, you know, control what you can control in the moment. And then you're able to, you know, I think revisit those discussions once you know, a season is over, or once, you know, you get into the off season for a lot of, like, you know, these big, you know, programs such as football across college sports.
Yeah, well, we'll get you out on this one, on this quick one. How is the Oregon State community feeling about Dallas Baptist baseball coming into the Pac-12? Good program. Obviously, Oregon State went down to Dallas for the regional back in 2015, I believe. But how is that being viewed by you guys and everyone down in Oregon State?
Oh, I love it. I love the move of adding Dallas Baptist to the Pac-12, and a lot of Oregon State fans feel the same way as well, too. I mean, I was talking about this the other day with some of the beat writers while we were waiting around for media availability to start. At some point, the Pac-12 had to not only add more schools to the conference, but also had to start considering filling out other sports like baseball. And I really like the move of adding a strong opponent in Dallas Baptist to the Pac-12 as a baseball affiliate. I mean, prior to adding them, the conference was okay in baseball, but not the best either at the same time. And I think this move is great for the conference as a whole. And then also, too, looking at it from the perspective of Dallas Baptist, I mean, this is the sport that you're, you know, Division I in, and that you're currently, I believe, an affiliate in Conference USA when it comes to playing baseball right now. So making that jump for them is really beneficial as well, too. So I think it works kind of both ways, and I see it as a net positive.
Ryan, thanks for the time, man. We appreciate it.
Appreciate you having me on, guys. Thank you.
Ryan Harlan covers the Beavs on 3 Sports Beavers Edge. We'll go to Green Bay at the top of the hour. Greg Bell will tell us what happened in that Seahawks-Packers scuffle earlier today and more. Big Splash is next. You've got the Bald-Faced Truth, Judah Newby, Stephen Vaughn on 750 The Game at the BFT Radio Network.